Rabbi Yossi Cohen.
Erev Yom HaKippurim, Tov Shin Ein Zayin. Yeah. Bocho Yehye Ha'ois Hazeh. So we say in Davening, Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chofetz B'chaim, V'chosveinu B'seifa Ha'chaim, L'man Chalekim Chaim. The Mepharshim point out, the Gaon and others, and there's a difference between the two Azkoros that we say in Shemoneh Esrei, beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, and the two at the end. Once at the beginning, Zachreinu L'chaim, is a Lashon Chaim. Michamech Abarachim, Mizrech Yitzurov L'chaim Barachim. And at the end, Soib L'chaim Toivim, Seif Chaim Barucha B'Shalom, refers to the Toivim. So the last two refer to the Toiv, Seif Eilu Mazeh, asking the Rabbeinu Shalom Shemizrech to a good year, Aziz Yor, Noila Mazeh. And the first ones are referring to Olam Habo. Zachreinu L'chaim L'Olam Habo. And the Mepharshim Butchin Zach, what exactly does this mean? We're asking now for Olam Habo. If you want to be Zachat Olam Habo, then do what you're supposed to do to get to Olam Habo. What's this Zachreinu L'chaim asking for Olam Habo? So it occurred to me perhaps, Argosha, what exactly we're asking for Zachreinu L'chaim, we're asking for Chaim. We say in Slichas every day, Umol Hashem Aleikecha Es Levavcha, Veslav Zarecha, L'Ava Hashem Aleikecha, Chol Levavcha, V'Chol Nafshecha, L'Man Chayecha. That's the lashon that we say every day in Slichas before Shema Kaleinu. It's a pasuk in Nitzavim, and the Chofetz Chaim asks, what does exactly this mean with the words L'Man Chayecha? Mola Hashem Aleikecha Slavavcha, L'Ava Hashem Aleikecha. What does it mean L'Man Chayecha, for the sake of your life? What exactly does it mean? So Chofetz Chaim said, Poshe B'Shat, Kedarka V'Kodesh, says Poshe B'Shat, to explain what exactly we're asking for here. We're asking Akadosh Baruch Hu, Mol Hashem Aleikecha. L'man Chayecha. He says, a marshal about Avad Omer, there was a poor man walking along the river banks, and he heard a cry from the river, and he saw a child struggling in the raging waters, and he dived in, and he managed to save the child, and took the child out, took him, dressed him, fed him, and he found out that this was no other than the prince, the son of the king, the heir to the throne. You can imagine, when the king found out what this man had done to save his son, to save the future king, how can I reward him? What can I do to him? He gave me back my son. And he said to him, I give you the rights to go for 12 hours, and 12 hours spend a whole day in the king's treasury. Take what you want. Spend the whole day there. It's only on a designated day he arrived there. This poor man, all he had managed to gather is lots and lots of sacks. He came there, it wasn't just one room, it wasn't just one hall. There was a whole series of vaults and lofts and all sorts of banks and places packed with all sorts of the king's huge treasury. And he was there from dawn till dusk. And he was an astute man. And he was busy climbing up ladders, taking things down, and going down in the vaults, and taking things off shelves, looking at things. All sorts of wonderful treasures, gold, silver, valuables, rare paintings, antiques, you name it, it was all there. And he was spending his time slogging away, working very, very hard. Didn't stop to eat, didn't stop to drink. He was busy spending this whole time, non-stop, gathering together what he thought was more valuable, change things, took other things, put them back. In the end, very tired, very hungry, very worn out. He walked out with many laden sacks, took them home, and he started going through them. And he himself was a bit of a maven. And he started dealing in these things, and very quickly he became a very, very, very wealthy man. Ad kedei kach, he was famed as one of the most wealthy people in the whole Medina. Everybody knew this man. He became one of the great noblemen in the land. He was looked up to. People came from all over to do business with him, discuss with him. And obviously he was very close to the king after that. And every year on that day, he used to make a special Suda to commemorate this great wealth that he had acquired. And on that day, he showed off all his wealth. And in his great mansion, he invited the wealthiest people in the land, all the noblemen. And he was served by a whole team of servants. And the food was the best, and the drink was the best, and everything. Imamish put it all on. Everything was the highest quality, and the highest degree, gold and silver, everything. One day, after many, many years had passed, and people had long forgotten how this person came to this position, he stood up once at the Suda, and he said to the Olam, "Tell me," he said, "tell me, my friends, what do you think is the happiest day in my life?" And one by one, they stood up and said, "Well, today, this is the day when you're so honored and so revered and so respected. Everybody comes to pay their respects to you. And you really show us everything that you do for the country and all the wealth that you have here. And it's just wonderful. It's so beautiful and wonderful. This whole day must be the most wonderful day in your life." And he said, "No, my friend, you're mistaken." He said, "The most happiest day in my life was a day when I was hungry. I was tired. I was dressed in tattered, I was thirsty, and I was working very, very hard with no one to help me." So they looked at him. Here's a man who has everything at his beck and call, all the food and drink in the world, a team of servants, a mansion, and that is the happiest day in his life. How can that be? So he told them, "Let me tell you the story." And he told them how many, many years before he'd come to acquire this great wealth. So on that day, from dawn to dusk, I was dressed in tatters, and I was working very, very hard. I didn't stop to eat or drink or rest, non-stop. I was working, schwitzing away. And that was the happiest day, because every time I picked up another article, another piece of gold, another gem, another valuable, another rare painting, I was filled with another burst of simcha. I thought, how wonderful, this is going to give me newfound wealth. From here I'm going to grow. And every minute, this happened the whole time, it was another spurt. Another inspiration of simcha, another burst of simcha I felt. And this was therefore the happiest day in my life. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if only we even would realize the value, the sheer poshuta value of life. Our neshamas have existed for a long time before we came down to this world. Our neshamas, our chatzuvos, tachas kisei hakovod. And it will continue to exist after we leave this world. For netzach netzachim. He says we are given a small window of opportunity during what's called life, chayim on this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give you the opportunity to take of my oitzer, my beautiful oitzer, my Torah, my mitzvahs, which is the most valuable, precious thing that I have, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishtasheh b'chol yoyim. And I give you the chance, whilst you are here in this world, to do this, to avail yourself of this beautiful, wonderful treasure that I have, the oitzer of the melech. And what do? We're busy with all sorts of other things. We're distracted with so many things which take our mind away from the real, true tachlis. Why? Because he says the Chofetz Chaim, because our hearts are blocked. We're blocked with all inyonei gashmius, whatever it may be, whether it's eating or drinking or business or any other things that we have in mind which pull us away, leaving us with not enough time to do the precious job that we have, which is being able to take Ma'otza Melech, which is something which we can only do. We lose that schus. Whatever we have, we have. We won't be able to come back and get it. Now is the time, says the Chofetz Chaim. And therefore, says the Pasuk, the time will come, when HaKadosh Baruch will unblock our hearts. Our hearts are blocked. In the same way as a physical heart. Never, if it's blocked with cholesterol, whatever it is, it's dangerous. And you have to have it unblocked. Similarly, the Pasuk says, in the Teichacho, Yakcho Hashem b'simhoin leivov. What's simhoin leivov? Rashi says, oitem ha-leiv. A fashtopta heart, blocked heart. And that's the last of al-chait, which we'll say tonight and tomorrow. Al-chait shechatonu levanecho b'simhoin leivov. Our hearts were blocked. And we didn't do anything about unblocking them. U'mol Hashem alekeches levovcho. The time will come and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will unblock our hearts. And then it will be la'avos Hashem alekecho b'chol levovcho u'b'chol nafshcho will love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why? Lemam chayecho. Simply for the fact that He gave us life. For the simple fact that we were zoichet to life, which is the greatest matana. In the same way as that man loved the king for giving him that opportunity of having life. And on that day, says the Chofetz Chaim, regardless, he didn't bother about all the fact that he was tired and hungry and dirty and everything else, because he had this great opportunity to help himself in the Oitza HaMelech. Similarly, a Yid can never complain. Whatever matzav he is, yes, things might be difficult. Yes, things are challenging. We all have our difficulties and challenges in life. Oh, but we have life. As the Pasuk says, Ma yis'oinen odom chai. How can a person who's alive complain? So Chazal, Dayoy sheu chai. It's enough that he's alive. The very gift of life which enables us to be zoichot to netzach netzachim, the Torah mitzvahs, that itself is something which is so precious, it overshadows everything else. Everything else fades into insignificance. We have the gewaltige tzchia of life. I saw a Meri de Kemaisa, which brings out this point. There was a boy, a bocha, a 19-year-old bocha, who Nebuch was involved in a terrible crash. Boy driving, well, what do you expect? And Nebuch, the car was mamish, folded up like an accordion, and they managed to extricate him. And the car was a write-off, and he was a write-off. And he was lying there in hospital, hooked up to tubes, and all sorts of, his matzav was mamish gefelach. Just about, they managed to stabilize, he was just about living, stabilizing. So as it goes, they knew that there's going to be a long, long, drawn-out haul now to get him back on his feet, and who knows if he'll ever be able to walk again, and who knows where his matzah will be. It was very precarious. So the doctors had a meeting. Doctors, often called the ethical board, the hospital came together, 20 doctors, and they sat down to discuss what should be done with him. After all, it's going to be a very, very expensive business, talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, talking about, hey, we'll have to channel into this boy to make him again, give him back. And even then, who says he'll ever be able to walk and talk, etc.? Is it worthwhile? And there's a great risk of infection, and maybe therefore it's not worth the whole geschäft. And therefore they decided, these ethical doctors decided, yes, we'll give him palliative care and let him sort of rest, and he'll find his own way wherever he's going to end up. You know, it's really not worthwhile all the effort. And there was one from a doctor there. And his name was Dr. Fried. Dr. Fried stood up. He said, excuse me, sirs. Excuse me, gentlemen. You're talking here about the fact that there's no quality of life left for this boy. Let me ask you, he said, what's your quality of life? Dr. Smith, tell me, between a range of 1 to 10, starting at 1 and finishing 10, what's your quality of life? So Dr. Smith looked down and said, well, actually, honestly, at the moment, things at home are not very well, and not going very well, and there's a divorce pending, and one of the children have stopped or broken up with me, and really things aren't very good. I would say about six. Aha! And Dr. Morgan, what would you say about your quality of life? So Dr. Morgan he coughed a few times, and he said, well, actually, my financial position has taken a downturn, and I've made a couple of bad decisions. Things are not looking good. Maybe seven. Oh, yes. And Dr. So-and-so, what would you say about your quality of life? So he said, well, Oicha Maisa, I've got a child at home. It's very challenging. And I'm having a lot of difficulty with it. And really, it's causing us a lot of hassle. Yeah. 6.5. Aha. Okay, gentlemen. Well, perhaps let's go and ask this patient himself what his quality of life is like. So the team of doctors, led by this Dr. Fried, they went into Moshe, this bocha lying there in bed, hooked up to all sorts of tubes, breathing. He was baruch Hashem conscious. And he called out to him, Moshe! And he opened his eyes, and he recognized Dr. Fried. He knew him, he was a Yid. He said, Moshe, I want to ask you a question. Can you answer me? He said, yes, in a thin voice. Tell me, Moshe, on a scale from 1 to 10, starting at 1 and finishing at 10, how would you rate your quality of life at this moment? So Moshe was silent for a second, and then he said, my quality of life, he said, in a thin voice getting stronger, is 10. No, 10 plus. Can you explain that? He said, sure. He said, not so long ago, I was almost at death's door. And now I wake up in the morning, and I say, Moida ani lefanecha. And for every breath I take, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm zoicha to be alive. For me, that's a wonderful quality of life. I have life. What can be greater than that? If I'm alive, that was his answer. And the doctors looked at each other and said, well, here, doesn't this young man deserve that we should give him an even greater quality of life and help him come to his full potential, he will meet Hashem? And the decision was taken to go ahead and give him that care. So that's even a Yid who Nebuch is an Azal Matzev. The fact that he's alive, there's a heart beating within him, his neshama is there, is the chavada, the greatest toiva that any Yid can have. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. Leman chayecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should unblock our hearts. The Osid Lavoi, that we should be Zoicha Leman Chayecha, to appreciate the fact that we have, that's the greatest reason to have Avas Hashem. We have the opportunity to take from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and Mitzvahs, which after all is the sole purpose that we're here on this world. And I think that's what we're saying when we daven Zachreinu L'chaim, Rabbeinu Shalaylam. Remember us for Chaim, or should be Zoicha to Chaim, to appreciate life. Melech Chofetz B'chaim. What's Chaim? What's Chaim that Rabbeinu Shalaylam wants? He wants us to have a life which is taka the purposeful life. Life which is the whole tachlis of life is that. And therefore, V'chasveinu B'seifa HaChaim, L'mancho L'kim Chaim, a Chaim which will taka be L'mancho. But the Chaim which we're asking for, that we should be Zoicha to really appreciate and evaluate and use life to the greatest possible effect. This Chofetz Chaim says is what we're talking about. What can we do now about that? How can we achieve to the best possible degree to help us in our own avoda to unblock this, the blockness in our hearts, which doesn't let us really appreciate and evaluate every second of life that we have to use it for the right purpose. I saw a very interesting vot from the Lomjo Mashkiach, which is very much a very centrally sadistic vot. The Pasuk tells us, just for Kitzer, that when Sarai didn't have children, so she gave Hagar over to Avram. She gave her Shifcha and said, Avram, you take my Shifcha. And she became Muberes. She was expecting a child. It says the Pasuk, Vateikal Gevirta Be'eneha. Her mistress became cheap in her eyes. And other Sarai became cheap in the eyes of Hagar. So Sarai complained to Avram. And Avram said, do what you want with her. Says the Pasuk, Vata'aneho Sarai, Vativrach Mifaneho, Vata'aneho Sarai. What does that mean? She caused the pain. So he asked, can it be the Sarai Menu? Everybody knows, a mensch, poshut mensch knows that a woman is pregnant, you treat her with softly. Vata'aneho Sarai, is that what it means? Can it be possibly say that? What did she do? She whipped her. What did she do? She caused the inui. Says the Lamjo Mashgiach, that's not pshat. The pshat said this. Vateikal gevirta beineo. Hagar decided, haha, okay, you're not my boss. I'm married, Avram, you're not my boss anymore. Sarai obviously had to put the law, let the law down, set the law down. I am the boss. Now, chas v'shalom, what Hagar should become the master of the house? That can't be. She has to know her position. She might have married Avram, but after all, Sarai is the mistress of the house. All Sarai did was keep on asking her to do the same job she used to do beforehand, same work, continue doing that. Whatever she used to do, she used to sweep the floor, make the meals, whatever it was. But because Vateikal Gevirta Beineha, because she had cast off the yoke of leadership that Sarai should have had over her, Mamela, everything that Sarai asked her to do was too much for her. I should clean the floor. Why should I? You wash the dishes. Why should I wash the dishes? Because that's why the inui came as a result of the fact that Vateikal Gevirta Beineha. The fact that she wouldn't accept and recognize that she is my mistress made that everything she asked me to do, I don't want to. Because I'm not becoming your Morris. I'm not becoming the fact that I've got to listen to you. That's what caused it. That was caused of Vata'aneho. And she ran away. And the Malach said to her, Hogo Shifcha Sarai. Where are you running away from? He addressed her as Hogo Shifcha Sarai. And she answered back, Bnei Sarai, Gevirti Anochi Barachas. I'm running away from my mistress. So the Malach said, okay, you go straight back. Shuvi El Gevirtech. Go straight back. Recognize your position. Once you recognize the position, you'll have no problems whatsoever. All you have to know is, she's the boss. You're the Shifcha. Once you know that, she's not treating you any different than the way it should be, than you're supposed to do your jobs. You won't find any pain anymore in doing it. The pain comes from the resistance of being ready to accept that I have to do what she says. Says the Lomjo Mashkiach. Sometimes we find, can be, that people find that the Avodas Hashem is burdensome. It's tedious. It's boring. It's tough. You know, I have to get up every time early for Shachris this time. And I have to go again to this year, and they want more stocker from me, and I've got to do these things. Perhaps the reason is because lacks in our Kabbalah's oil. If we'd be completely machmiyav ourselves, completely to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and though the Rabbeinu Shalom is our yotze, our boire, and he created us and he gives us life every second, and we owe everything to him, when we become ourselves the oil malchut shamayim the way it should be, then automatically Yiddishkeit will go much easier. We do it with simcha, because this is what we're supposed to do, this is what we're here for. And sometimes this blockage that there is comes as a result of the lack of Kabbalah, simply Kabbalah's oil malchut shamayim the way it should be. Realize who we are Avdei Hashem. And therefore, we wake up in the morning, it's the greatest schus that we have to do Avodas Hashem. If we would feel that, then everything would go like a song, it would be much easier. It's perhaps the lack of that. And therefore, when it comes to the davening in Shemoneh Esrei, and what is the whole central theme about the five tefillahs we're going to daven from tonight till the end of Ne'ilah, it's V'chein tein pachtuch Hashem alekin al kol ma'asecha. Galei kvei malchuscha. Similarly, atu Hashem avadecha. V'yeda kol pol katvati. We're asking, Galei is malchus on the whole world. What about us? What about us? It has to start there. You can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megaleh Malchus in the whole world before you've been Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim properly in yourself. When a person is Makir, Ich Ben HaEved Hashem, and my tachlis in this world is simply to do Rotzen Hashem and Aved Hashem on every step. And I've got so many wonderful, beautiful opportunities to do that the whole day, in my whole life. Then that Kabbalah's oil will inject the person with the simcha and the inspiration and the motivation to go ahead and do Aved Hashem. That itself will unblock the heart. Because often that blockage comes from the fact that our lack of Kabbalah's oil, we're here on this world, but okay, you know, we have our own things to do type of thing. And therefore there's a certain element to a degree of batek kal gevirto beineho, and therefore it becomes difficult. But if we'd have that solid Kabbalah's oil, then automatically that would give us the cheshek and the bren, the motivation to do but avoid us ascend the way it should be. Now, if life itself is so precious, every minute of life, how much more so, when we talk about the window of opportunity of life, within the great span of the life of the Neshama, our life in this world, how much more so, Rabbi Yisai, when we have this Aseres Yimei Teshuva, which is coming now towards the end. Aseres Yimei Teshuva. The time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Dirushu Hashem bihi motzoi, Tikat Hashem ani is to be found, Kra'uhu bihi yosei koroiv. Because, as I saw in the Sefer, sometimes this talks so much about Aseres Yimei Teshuva, and this fellow wrote a Sefer about Yom HaNeroim. In the middle of the Sefer, he writes like this. He writes, you know, sometimes, you posh it, you can, as you say in English, you don't see the forest for the trees. There's so much, you forget about, one second, what am I supposed to be doing now, Aseres Yimei Teshuva? What is the central point of Aseres Yimei Teshuva? And therefore, realize that, and that'll give us a shake-up. So he says, let's realize one thing. The tachlis of Aseres Yimei Teshuva is, for us, very practical. When I say practical, I mean like this. Of course, we have to do tshuva. What do we achieve with the tshuva? We have to know. God will give us a gift, and that is. Rosh Hashanah is a day, Rosh Hashanah yikasevon, when the Gzar Din is written down for the whole year what's going to happen. Over Yom Tov Kippur, yechasevon, is going to be sealed tomorrow. Every person is judged in Rosh Hashanah, and has his Psak Din written, and the Chasima is only on Yom Kippur. Why is that? That is, as the Vilna Gaon explains, in order to give us an opportunity to do tshuva and have the original Gzar Din ripped up. And that's how we daven Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu, Kosveinu, Kosveinu. Why Kosveinu? The Ksiva has been already. We only say Kosveinu, Mani'ila. But the embassy is that as a result of the ability which we have to do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll tear up that original Gzal Din, and you'll have a new one. So now, in these days, and these last few short hours, we have the ability to absolutely, our life is in our hands. It's up to us and no one else to be able to define what our next year is going to be like. And one has to realize, one has to think, whatever happened last year, and it's so important to realize this, whatever happened last year was decreed last year and sealed on Yom Kippur, could have been prevented had our tefillahs and our tshuva perhaps been stronger and been better, because that's what we're told. You can be kareya l'gzar din, and the Rebbeinu Shem will accept the tshuva and the tzedakah and the tefillah and affect what we want to have affected for a good year if we will only use this time. Once Yom Kippur has passed, then the Gemara says it's too late. A yochid can never change the gzar din after Yom Kippur. Till Yom Kippur, during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, we have this koyach, we have this ability. When Rebbeinu Shem is near, to be able to change this. But that's what the Aseres Yimei Teshuva is there for. And if we think about the famous Moshe of Rabbi Itzel, he talks about the Beinonim. But this applies to everyone, wherever we are, according to this. Rabbi Itzel says, what does it mean? Beinonim Teruim V'Omdim. So he says, you've got like a person standing on the executioner's block. He's on the gallows. He's on the gallows, and the noose is round his neck. And now he's waiting between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So according to this, if a person, if we're told, the ksiva's been, whoever's been, so the noose is round our neck. And Lemoshel Vadad Avadoimah, the whoever it was, the governor, the prime minister, the king, whoever it was, the president, comes along to view the execution. He comes along to see the execution. So the man's standing there with the noose round his neck, and he wants to come along and see, no, Lomazen, Efshe, the president, maybe he'll pardon him, maybe he'll pardon him, depending on what he says, that if he says sorry or not, depending on what his mood is like. So he comes up there, and the man's standing with the noose round his neck, speaking on his phone, speaking to his friends. Chatting on the phone to his friends, yeah, having a good chat, yeah, good, saying goodbye to his friends, and the man, the fellow, the president is standing there, the king standing there, well, come, can you stand? Okay, Shon, you know, if you're not bothered, and I'm not bothered, says the king, and that's it. Therefore, the execution goes ahead as planned, because you've got to show at least that you care. And therefore, when it comes to ourselves, we make sure that that is our matzav. It's our matzav. Unfortunately, because we are blocked to a certain extent, we don't feel the pachad, we don't feel this matzav, that now it's b'yodeinu, it's in our hands to affect what the coming year will be like. All it needs is tshuva and tzaoka. And let's say like the Lashon HaRambam, often we think that, you know, we have mitzvahs, we have averus, you know, okay, we're not that bad after all. The Rambam writes like this, Hatshuva mekarev es ha-sarachokim, emesh, yesterday, Hoyozeh, this is the Rambam describing a person before tshuva. Emesh hoyozeh sonnui lefnei ha-mokoyim, who is hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meshukatz, disgusting, meruchik, distance, v'te'eva, abominable. That's the matzav of a person. So we think to ourselves, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, take it easy type of thing, you know. So that bad, you know, I did a few averus, but this is really, sounds pretty harsh. That tells you we don't understand what an avera is. We don't feel, don't realize the terrible koch of chorban of an avera. But that's what the Rambam says, that's from Psukim. V'hayoyim, after tshuva, hu ohuv v'nechmad koroiv yedid. Four against four. Meruchak, meshukatz against ohuv. Sonui against ohuv. Meshukatz against nechmad, desired. Meruchak, koroiv, and yedid. That's the matzav of a yid, after he's done tshuva. And on Aseret Yom Tshuva, Dirush Hashem b'Yimotzai Karu b'Yisakarav. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes close to us. To who? To this person who has not yet done tshuva. To this person who is sonui, meshukatz, meruchak, v'te'eva. Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidoi v'atzmoi comes towards this person and says, stretches out his hands and says, come, let me help you do tshuva in this special time. Kadosh Baruch Hu is enabling us, even if we seem to be in this matzav, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to try and help do tshuva. And as the Rambam continues and he says that, Pasuk says, Avonoseichem hoyu mavdilim meineichem avein alekeichem. Our averos create a wall, a mechitza, create a wall. And this wall has a door in the wall. And as we said in the Slichas, as we say in Slichas, we said this morning we didn't, but till now we said it, yeah? Lo v'chesed, v'lo v'masim v'ono l'fanecha. Said it this morning, yeah. Kedale mechoroshim dofaknu de la secha, became knocking on the door. De la secha dofaknu rachum mechanon, na'al teshivainu rekam ilfanecha. But only so, I'm knocking on your door. That's us knocking on the door. And who's knocking on the other side of the door? Koil doidi doifek, pischili achisira yossi, yenosi samosi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knocking on the door. What do you have? You have here this wall. This wall was created by our avets. And when you have a zamasa, when you have two people on either side of the door, and they both want to speak to each other, but there's a wall, there's a door, the door's locked. So who has access to open the door? The one who has the key. He has the one who has the key. So Rabbeinu Shlomo is standing one side of the door, says, Kol doidi doifek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knocking on the door, and we are standing on the other side of the door, Gagdalim v'choroshim dafaknu de la secha, we're knocking on the door. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, pishchili achri Yisrael Yossi, they say to open the door, no, v'svats to shayim. I've come right to the other side of the wall. I've come here. Although your matzav might be before tshuva, as sonui, meshukat, and matuv. I've come here, to the wall. All you have to do now is open that door. How? Tshuva, you've got the key. You and only you have got the key. The bissel tshuva, the bissel tzaka, You could be the one to open the door, to open it. And that's what Kesbach is saying us. So after Aseres Mitzvah, Kesbach is not the outside of the wall. Hine is Oimed Achar Kosleinu Mashgiach Menachorei Zemitz Nacharakim. This is talking about time Aseres Mitzvah. Kesbach is waiting about the other side of the wall. No, Rabbi Yisai. Kesbach is waiting about the wall. Open up. I can hear you. You can hear me. If you just open the door, we'll be able to meet. Pischi Leachri Yisrael Yossi. Open up the door. And we say the Loshen, the double Loshen, Loi V'chesed. What's a double lashon twice? The secha dafaknu, and we repeat. Racham v'chanun not shenayikom v'fanecha. So, Moshe numbered avadoyma to a child who left home. Unfortunately, he left home. He left the derech. He broke up tichos with his father. He went the wrong way completely. He was doing the wrong things. Fell into bad times, and fell into the wrong chevra, bad times. People began chasing him, pressurizing him, and he realized the game was up. There's no way he can be helped. He was in real dire trouble. And he came home, and he knocked on the door. He knocked on the home that he grew up. We knew where his parents were there. And his father opened the door, and he's standing there with long hair, with nose rings and torn jeans. It looks a pretty sight. And the father looks at him, and he said to his father, "Yeah, I've come home. I've come home." And with that, his father opens his arms, takes him into a loving embrace. Why? Because the fact that he knew the way home, he knew which door to knock on, that itself is a sign that of his kesher between him and his father. And therefore, if we say Rabbeinu Shalom, Loi v'Chesed, v'Loi v'Masim, v'Ando l'Fanecha, Chomish k'n Chesed, and Chomish k'n Maisim. K'dalim od Choroshim, d'fakno d'lasecha. We are poor, so poor. But the fact that d'lasecha d'fakno rachum v'chanan, the very fact that we come knocking on your door, Nal t'shivein rikom l'Fanecha, that itself should be a reason why Rabbeinu Shalom accept us and don't send us away empty-handed, because we're knocking on the door and we want to open the door. We want to do tshuva. We want to try our best. This is difficult because we're in a matzav of where our hearts unfortunately are blocked. But at least that, the fact that we are knocking on the door and trying, and therefore Rabbeinu Shem says, Kol doidi doifek, he's also knocking, pischili. And we say to Rabbeinu Shem, yes, the wall is there, being created by our avarice. We want to breach that wall, we want to break it down. And now is the only time, now the time of tshuva, this is the time of year when we have this possibility, when we have this ability to do it. This is it, this is what it's all about. So Rabbi Sivadach Mishmarach Zayn, Aseres Mitzvah is such a precious time, a time when now we're counting the hours, literally counting the hours to the countdown of Ne'ilah, where every single chance that we have should be put into as much as possible the effort, focused on being able to do a Nocha Bissel Tshuva with its various dargas, so that as a result of the Tshuva that we hope to be able to achieve, every person according to his darga, Abyssal Tshuva, the Rabbeinu Shalom, is there, ready to accept. And there's a difference between the Tshuva, a whole year, and the Tshuva, and a Aseres Mitzvah Tshuva. You know, the Gemara tells us famously that a Tzibur, a Rabbim, has a koyach to have a decree ripped up, withdrawn, a whole year. A Yochid does not have that koyach. A Yochid only has the koyach in a Aseres Mitzvah Tshuva. So now, every person has the koyach of a Rabbim. Every person sitting here has the koyach of a huge Rabbim. We know sometimes Jochvanu Son is a Torah, the whole Rabbim comes together to daven. And we hope that the Kael Kabbalah must be a Koyach. I want to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, that the Koyach of a Yochid and a Aseres Mitzvah is not equal to a Rabbim, it's greater than a Rabbim. What's the proof? Because the Rambam says that a Rabbim have the Koyach to daven a whole year and to tear up decrees. Have you ever wondered, Rabbi Yisai, why is it that Nebuch sometimes we have a Tfilas Rabbim and somehow things don't go the way we want them to go? We davened. There's a Tfilas Rabbim. What happened? The answer is one word in the Rambam. One very crucial word. The Rambam says, Tzibur, kol zman she'osin tshuva, v'tzoakin b'leiv sholem heim ne'anim. If the Tzibur cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'leiv sholem, who can judge? Who knows what's called the leiv sholem? Only the Rabbeinu Shalom. If it's not b'leiv sholem, then ein heim ne'anim. The Rabbi answered, true. It says, Kashem alikeinu b'chol kareinu eilov. But can we say that? When it comes to Aseres Mitzvah, a Yochid, the Rambam does not write that he needs B'leiv Sholem. You don't need it.
On the contrary, he writes that in these 10 days, tshuva v'atzoka hi yofe b'yoyse u'miyad hi miskabeles. Immediately it's received. Rosem comes to tshuva, taken. He doesn't check it. Leib shalom, not leib shalom. Miyad hi miskabeles. Why? Because it says, tirusha Hashem bihi matzoi kra'u b'yoyse korev. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close to us, then obviously that means that he's making himself available. He wants us to do tshuva. So he's not going to check it. Atvilas Rabbim means that our koyach of the Rabbim goes all the way up there. It has to be worthwhile. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to us and says, Rabbeisai, come on, do tshuva, now's the time, I'll accept it. If he doesn't check it, it goes much easier. Biyadim iskabeles. So Kum Tachayis, every single one of us has the koyach and the says tshuva more than a Rabbim. Not only is equal to a Rabbim, he's better. Because the tshuva and the tzoka is accepted easier. It doesn't have to be b'leiv sholem. So what do we have to do already, Rabbeisai? This little tshuva, and that will breach the wall, and that will open the door, Bezer Hashem. The Rebbein Shem will accept us and envelop us. Taka ve'emes achiba ve'ava ve'ava. It will be zeicha. The outfillers will be answered, and Gans Klal Yisrael will have Bezer Hashem a year. Gmach sin toiva, brocha, matzlocha, and Yeshua nechama to Klal Yisrael.
The absence of the fact, no, and the image that is.